Excellent.
All right, speaking of problems, our last guest tonight is Renee Schmitz, and also joining us will be Shastine Hudson, and they are with Canadian Nurses for Life, and they raise an important issue, and one that we don't really kind of think about, it, and it's not even an issue. I guess it would be a better, as a dilemma.
Mm.
Renee, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Good evening and welcome to Roadkill Radio. I'm Carrie Simpson and my co-host for tonight is Mark Hashek. Did Shastine join us as well?
Yes. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
Now, you guys have a conference coming up. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think that'll work well into this discussion we're going to have, because you raise points that I don't think typically in a day that our viewers would even consider, but this is something that every day you are having to deal with more and more as we see trends in society, whether it's euthanasia, abortion, the morning after pills, all of these kinds of things are affecting you and your workplace. Renee, do you want to talk to us about, tell us about the conference that's coming up.
About the conference? Sorry, I'm just having a little bit of difficulty hearing.
Okay.
So I'll just tell you a little bit about our conference. Is that what your question was?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. The title is called Code Blue, Igniting the Heart of Pro-Life Nursing. And the aim for it is to raise awareness about the current life issues among nurses in the healthcare system. So the issues ranging from abortion to euthanasia, withdrawal of treatment, etc. And it's also, our aim is also to dialogue about the difficulty nurses are facing in light of these issues, so including their conscience rights, et cetera. And we also want to promote the sharing of ideas and strategies of what we can do to change the culture within our workplace. Nursing conscience rights is really our main focus. We do believe that nurses should be encouraged that they have the right to refuse and to fight for the right to refuse to participate in any action that would threaten the life of their patient and that would be in direct contradiction to their ethics and morals.
Yeah.
So that's really what our aim for the conference is. We were hoping to do those three things in several ways, so raising awareness and educate by inviting speakers who are really knowledgeable with those issues that are out there. So for speakers such as Dr. Margaret Cottle, she's a palliative care physician at UBC. She also Sean Murphy, who's the administrator of the Protection of Conscience Project. He has helped nurses with conscience issues for the past 40 years or so. So he's got a lot of knowledge to share, and we'd like to tap into that. and there's also nursing bioethicists such as Christina Lamb, who will talk about ethical frameworks that nurses can use when encountering a difficult situation. Also Stephanie Gray from CCBR, who will be talking about the realities of abortion. And Anita Sontag from Silent No More Awareness Campaign will be giving her own personal testimony. And then one more would be Christina Alarcon. She's a pharmacist who has been fighting for pharmacist conscience rights. So we thought that by bringing all these people together, we can really dialogue about how are all these issues affecting us and what can we do and go from there.
Well, I have to tell you that I kind of smiled when I looked at your list of guest speakers, because it's kind of like the who's who of Roadkill Radio. I think we've had at least the overwhelming majority of them on the show.
Oh, really?
Previous. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
But, you know, and this is the issues, because I don't think people understand the implications of where we're going. I mean, there are, and I saw in our announcement that even marriage commissioners got thrown into this, but as more and more moral issues are being brought into the forefront and the workplace, and I mean, there's no greater frontier, if you will, than being a nurse, and how so many of these issues, you know, when you talk about abortion, when you talk about withdrawing life support system, when you talk about euthanasia, I mean, you're the frontline workers that are dealing with these issues on a daily basis and being forced to deal with it. You know, how do you as nurses who find the sanctity of life and issues about, you know, saving lives. How do these work with you? This is a terrible situation you're being forced into.
Yeah, it's really challenging because we're working in an environment where there's a lot of different philosophies on the human person, and a lot of these philosophies are colliding, and we're trying to understand where each other is coming from, just as coworkers. But our main goal as a nurse and what we're required to really in our standards of practice are to protect our patients from any harm. It's the most basic ethical principle. But because of these conflicting philosophies of the human person, some of those philosophies will turn the human person into the disease or the problem, you know, and so they think that they need to eliminate the person instead of the other issues surrounding, their situation. And so it is quite challenging, and we have to figure out ways on how we're going to change minds, number one, of our coworkers through education and dialogue, and to have the courage to actually dialogue about those things and to challenge the status quo. So we're hoping also that this conference will encourage nurses, will first educate them and strengthen them to actually be that other voice, the voice for the unborn and the voice for their patients, and to actually look at our practice standards and go, you know, the general population isn't always following these in those cases, you know, abortion and threat of euthanasia and assisted suicide. So we need to do something about it.
Renee?
And so I think that's where the challenge is.
Renee, what rights of refusal do nurses in Canada have right now? Are you able to opt out of an abortion procedure?
Well, it depends on the province and the professional body's position statements. I know in BC they do have some position statements of duty to provide care. So what the conflict also lies in what they define as care. So because of these conflicting philosophies of the human person, some will think that care, abortion, euthanasia example, is care, whereas
yeah.
the pro-life opponent would
sure.
say it's not care, it's actually killing. So it's becoming the two terms, for some reason, killing and care is becoming synonymous with the anti-life position. Where we're coming from is that it's care, killing is not care.
Sure, but
and so it depends on the professional body's position statements.
What about in British Columbia? Do you know?
In British Columbia, we have to find somebody else to. If we refuse, we have to find somebody else to replace.
Okay,
us.
So if someone asks you to participate in an abortion,
yes.
you have to go to a fellow nurse and get that person to replace you in the room. Is that right?
That's my understanding. I've been meeting with some nurses, actually, from North Vancouver in particular. There was one. It wasn't in the case of an abortion in this case, but it was another procedure that was against her conscience. And she wasn't even an OR nurse, but she was a PAR nurse.
Yeah.
She was asked on one of her night shifts, because they were short-staffed, to help with this procedure in the OR, which she wasn't even qualified to deal with anyways in this case. I won't go into any details.
Yeah.
But and she refused, and the next day she was reprimanded by her manager. And
okay.
She was brought, the union got involved, etc.
So I want to bring Chastine in on this conversation too. So do either of you have experiences in the past where you've been asked to do something and you didn't want to do it?
Well, Chastine has. She's an ER nurse. Personally, I'll pass the phone on to her.
Sure.
She can tell you her situation.
Right.
She was actually able to, in her situation, she had to get another nurse to replace her.
All right, let's get Chastine to tell us about
okay,
that.
Okay, one more, please. Hello.
Hi, Chastine. We were just asking Renee if either her or you had been asked to participate in a procedure, and it was against your conscience, and you opted out of that procedure. And I understand that happened to you.
That's right.
Can you tell us about that?
I work in the emergency, and I had a patient that came through who had a prescription to be filled. It was actually an order from a doctor to give methotrexate, which is the first part of an abortion. And so she came through looking for the drug, and she was my patient at the time, so I had to actually go find another nurse to give this medication because it was not something that I was going to participate in.
And where was that?
At Lionsgate Hospital
Vancouver. Now, were there any repercussions from that incident?
No, there wasn't. At that point, there wasn't. So,
how does the union feel about that type of behavior?
They weren't involved in that particular case.
Okay, so they didn't even know about it?
No.
What do you think they would have said?
I think they would have probably not been on my side. They probably would have thought that I should fulfilled my duty to provide the care and provide what my patient needed in the way of medication.
So pro-life nurses in BC don't feel they have the support of the union as far as life issues go. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, did you have to find another nurse, or did you just say, I'm not going to participate in this?
I said I was not going to participate, but I had to find another nurse in that situation.
Wow. Now, I'm curious about the union aspects of this because, the freedom of conscience should be something that it should be part and parcel to their support of their workers. But what you're telling us now is that there's probably that wouldn't be their interpretation of their responsibility to you.
That's correct. I don't think that they're on our side at all when it comes to that.
Are there any provisions within the contracts or within negotiations of these contracts that raise these issues, Justine?
Maybe Renee can talk about that. Just one moment.
Okay.
Sorry, what was the question?
Renee, what I was getting at is the union negotiation and contracts for nurses, because I mean these unions are there to protect your interests. You pay membership to these unions. You expect them to act on your behalf and protect your interests. Part of your interest, I would hope, are what your constitutional rights are, and that's freedom of religion and all those other issues that foundationally give you rights in this country. Is there any negotiation or resolutions or provisions within your contract that you're aware of that protect your right to conscience?
Through the union?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm aware of, no. But I do know that many workers aren't protected by their collective agreements. What we think is that it should actually be protected by law. I haven't really actually witnessed unions. I haven't heard of myself unions actually helping somebody in these positions. I mean, I have a lot to learn still. So that's what we're actually wanting to learn more at our conference as well from even Sean Murphy, who could answer a lot of these questions that we have ourselves that we can dive into a little bit further, because there's quite a history. So we're hoping that that's one thing that we'll learn.
Well, I know from previous shows, and I asked the question for a very specific reason, and that's because it seems to me that there needs to be a movement of, if I could put it this way, to be proactive on these fronts. I mean,
Yes. Obviously
these situations are going to be encountered, and perhaps increasingly so as we see some of the issues become more and more clear. I know Alex Schattenberg from Euthanasia Prevention, they've been very successful, but that's as a result of incidences that were happening in hospitals that would have affected, if you had been in that hospital as a nurse, you. We've got baby Josiah, being denied life support systems and all kinds of things. Increasingly, we're seeing these kinds of issues, these life and death issues, manifest themselves in a way where they're great wars, if you will, in some cases, right? Babies having to be whisked away down to the States to get treatment that seemed to be so simple, a tracheotomy, for instance, right? Is there a proactive movement within Canadian Nurses for Life to put these issues on the agenda of your unions, to put these issues on the agendas of your politicians, to say, you know, we're not going to go here and we want protection from having mm-hmm. to be forced into that situation.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're hoping that the conference will ignite. I think that's part of why our title, Igniting the Heart of Pro-Life Nursing, because we've noticed that either there's a lack of action in that direction, or I've also been reflecting on, I wonder if also there's a lack of action because, well, let's say, for example, in the area of abortion, because nurses who are objected to it aren't hired in the areas that usually they're performed because they're against it. So there's the hiring issues as well. So I know that one of our members here, she had an interview in the past. I can even pass the phone on to her. She can talk about her interview. So I think the issue, too, is a matter of hiring.
All right. So what? Okay. Well, no. Explain, because I'm curious about that. You mean these kinds of issues are raised and determining factors in whether or not a nurse gets a job?
I'll pass on the phone to her so she can explain her situation in more detail.
Okay. Who are we going to be speaking to then?
Hi.
Who's this?
Hi. Yes. I a few years ago, when I was a new graduate, I was interviewed by BC Women's Hospital for their for one of their birthing programs, and in particular, one of the questions I was asked was if I was going to be hired into this particular program, if they were going to cross-train me for the antepartum program, which is the before the woman actually has the baby, that I, as a nurse in that program, I would be required to administer methotrexate, which is an abortifacient, like for medical abortions. And that basically it was one of my nursing duties that I would be expected to do this. And I mean, by no means was I told directly, you will not be hired if you do not perform this, but it was very, very clearly communicated to me that this was one of my nursing duties. So, I didn't work for that particular program, but I was, you know, that was the message that was given to me. And okay. One of the most prominent maternity hospitals in the country.
Okay, but let's get those facts straight. Okay, so were you hired by Women's Hospital or BC Women's Hospital in a different department then?
Yes,
okay,
I was.
And did that result from this job interview?
Indirectly.
Okay, so in a sense, they were accommodating your conscience then, were they not?
Well, I didn't voice my particular opinion on it. I had applied to a different program to the postpartum program without like any intention of working for antepartum, because mm-hmm. as a new graduate, you just apply for, you know, specific programs, whatever, you know, you had done your preceptorship or whatever is available.
Right.
But when I was applying for the postpartum program, I was told if I was going to cross-train into antepartum, which is the connecting program, there's antepartum, and there's labor and delivery, and then there's postpartum, that if I wanted to cross-train into antepartum, which many nurses do eventually, because it's a full-range birthing program, that would be one of my duties. So they had no knowledge of what I believed in, but obviously, I mean, the fact that the manager pointed it out so specifically like that, I mean, that to me, obviously, I know from having worked there that there are issues in that department.
Oh, and I don't doubt that at all. And those kinds of issues, though, this is where I think that you know, with the, and maybe you'll address this in your conference and such, is, you know, being honest and factual shouldn't cost you the job in a particular department. And we had a very interesting lawyer on, Jerry Chippier, a few weeks ago. And we were talking about the issues, which is very similar to what we're talking about here, involving marriage commissioners in Saskatchewan. And, you know, for marriage commissioners that didn't want to have to license or preside over ceremonies involving same-sex couples for religious and conscious reasons, etc. And Saskatchewan said, no, you're going to do this, otherwise you're game over. But there was an accommodation put forward in Ontario that seemed very fair, very logical, very embracing, and very tolerant. And basically, it brought together a person that would make a decision over whether or not which marriage commissioner would be appropriate under the circumstances. And, you know, this seems to me to be a sort of a protocol that could be established in many hospitals now, maybe through the human resource department, as far as where you work and what kind of cases you're on and such, but one that needs to have protection, because you shouldn't be, you know, eliminated from as a job prospect because you don't want to give the morning after pill and those kinds of things. And I think that's what I'm hearing. That there is there a fear that nurses feel in revealing what their position is on these issues?
Okay, well, I mean, I can speak for myself and for, you know, some other nurses that I know of, you know, as friends and colleagues. And I think when we're trained in school, I mean, I'm a fairly new nurse, I'd say. You know, I've been working for the past 4 years, and you know, I can't speak for nurses of a different generation, but we are told to speak up for, you know, for what we believe in. Like, we're told these days you don't just follow the doctor's orders, you don't just do what you're told, and you're not a robot and you're not mindless. But to answer your question about the fear aspect, mm-hmm. I think that nursing or any other healthcare position, but particularly nursing, I'd say, because we're there all the time, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We're there with the patient providing direct care in very, very intimate ways that, you know, the fear comes with, I mean, there's the emotional aspect, because you want to be caring for the patient and you want to be doing all that you can, and, you know, whatever medically that you can do for them. And emotionally, I mean, you get to know them over your shifts, over a couple of days, or long term if you work in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fear comes from wanting to do what's best for the patient in terms of what you believe, but also wanting to give empowerment to the patient, to the patient as well. So you're kind of caught between maintaining a standard of care and at the same time, sort of your values for what you believe is right. And often, unfortunately, I think a lot of nurses struggle with that. And I'm just going to make a generalization here and say that I think most nurses want to do what's best for the patient, and there's no hidden agenda or anything like that. But, you know, with that duty to provide for the patient also comes, you know, there's this great responsibility and this great power that you have, you know, inherently in your duty. You know, you're caring for somebody who is physically, mentally, emotionally unwell, and you hold this power to do both good and harm.
Absolutely.
And the fear comes with you know, with what you're doing in terms of whether or not you're going to make a decision. And we, as nurses, we should make those decisions, but I think you know, there's a whole bunch of issues that go with that in terms of, you know, the standard of care that the hospital says or the health authority says that you need to have, as well as your own values and what you want, and what you think the patient wants.
So. Right. Okay, we're fast running out of time here. As a matter of fact, we are out of time. How can people register for the conference? Who should go to the conference? What's your website?
Okay, well, I'll give the phone back to Renee about that. Just a moment. Okay.
So the question was about registration for the conference?
Yeah, who should go to the conference, Renee? We're right out of time, so we need you to be quick here. What is the website? Who should go, and when is it?
Okay. It's you can register online, and our website is www.canadiannursesforlife.ca. It's at Rosemary Heights Retreat Center in Surrey, BC, so 3690 152nd Street. And it starts on Friday at 6 p.m. Registration starts at 6. Conference starts at 7, and then it ends on Saturday at 7:30 p.m.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us here, and you raise a whole bunch of issues that we'll probably need to talk about again. I'll be interested to hear what happens at the conference and the directions you take, but I would very much encourage you to be very proactive with your politicians and with your unions. Get those clauses in those collective agreements protecting your right to make decisions that you find valuable. So thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Mark, I don't know, but I don't know where the time goes.
That's roadkill for you.
Yeah, literally. All right, so you're off next week. Ron Gray will be back here with me.
Excellent.
And then we are taking a little bit of a break, but that doesn't mean you will be without Roadkill Radio, because we are going to present you with the best of Roadkill, and that will be broadcast on our typical Tuesday nights at the same time, same place, people. So anyway, until we see each other again, have a great summer. Are you taking
too.
Any time off?
I hope to take a week in down in Penticton to see some of our beautiful wine country here.
Yeah, go on a little wine tasting mission. All right, sounds like a good plan. All right, everybody, that's Roadkill for tonight. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.